Last Act in Palmyra, Falco, Book 6, written by Lindsay Davis and read by Gordon Griffin.
There comes a time in everyone's life when he feels he was born to be an actor. Something within him tells him he is the coming man, and that one day he will electrify the world. Then he burns with a desire to show them how the thing's done and to draw a salary of $300 a week. Jerome K. Jerome. And let those that play your clowns speak no more than is set down for them. For there be of them that will themselves laugh to set on some quantity of barren spectators to laugh too, though in the meantime some necessary question of the play be then to be considered. William Shakespeare. Prologue. The scene is set in Rome, in the Circus of Nero, and in a small back room at the Palace of the Caesars on Palatine Hill. The time is A.D. 72. Synopsis. Helena, daughter of Camillus, is a young girl disappointed by Falco, a trickster, who seemed to have promised her marriage. He now claims he's been let down by Vespasian, an emperor, his patron. In the nick of time, Talia, a high-class entertainer, and Anacrates, a low-class spy, both suggest ways in which Falco may escape from this predicament, but he must prevent Helena discovering what he is up to, or a chorus of disapproval is bound to ensue. Chapter 1. "Somebody could get killed here," Helena exclaimed. I grinned, watching the arena avidly. That's what we're meant to be hoping for. Playing the bloodthirsty spectator comes easy to a Roman. I'm worried about the elephant, she murmured. It stepped tentatively forwards, now at shoulder height on the ramp. A trainer risked tickling its toes. I felt more concerned for the man at ground level, who would catch the full weight if the elephant fell. Not too much concern, however. I was happy that for once the person in danger was not me. Helena and I were sitting safely in the front row of Nero's circus, just across the river outside Rome. This place had a bloody history, but was, nowadays, used for comparatively staid chariot racing. The long circuit was dominated by the huge red granite obelisk that Caligula had imported from Heliopolis. The circus lay in Agrippina's gardens at the foot of the Vatican Hill. Empty of crowds and of Christians being turned into firebrands, it had an almost peaceful atmosphere. This was broken only by brief cries of "Hop!" from practicing tumblers and rope dancers and restrained encouragement from the elephant's trainers. We were the only two observers allowed into this rather fraught rehearsal. I happened to know the entertainment manager. I'd gained entrance by mentioning her name at the starting gates and was now waiting for a chance to talk to her. Her name was Talia. She was a gregarious character with physical attractions that she did not bother concealing behind the indignity of clothing, so my girlfriend had come to protect me. As a senator's daughter, Helena Justina had strict ideas about letting the man she lived with put himself in moral danger. As a private informer, in an unsatisfactory job, and with a shady past behind me, I suppose I'd ask for it. Above us soared a sky that a bad lyric poet would certainly have called cerulean. It was early April, mid-morning on a promising day. Just across the Tiber, everyone in the imperial city was twisting garlands for a long, warm springtime of festivals. We were well into the third year of Vespasian's reign as emperor, and it was a time of busy reconstruction, as burnt-out public monuments were rebuilt after the civil wars.